really is the best show ever.
Today, I couldn't agree more.
In a really perverse way, today is one of those days that I wish that there was like some webcam here so we would just be watching as this program unfolds. There, you have no idea. It's just the sort of weird vibe that is in the air today. And by weird, I just mean frenetic and manic. So far, we've had all of this voting irregularity crap that has happened. We had the phone system here completely go belly up for about 25 minutes, right as we needed, just at the top of the show. We've had a huge grease spill on Columbia Boulevard, next to, from I-5 all the way down to MLK. We have a film crew here that is filming Tim Riley for something that he had, one of his outside projects. What else? Sarah's incapable of moving her right arm more than about 6 inches in any direction. And she just asked me if I had, quote, one of those kneading ball things. And
you know those kneading ball things? So I could sit here, but I could hold it on my shoulder and it could massage me.
With the kneading balls?
Yes. It really works when you put the kneading balls on your shoulder.
If you owned it, then that would allow me to use the phrase, Sarah's kneading balls. Hello, I'm an adult. What are these? Sarah's kneading balls. Fantastic. I don't really know what you're talking about. You're talking about one of those...
The kneading balls.
Kneading balls? Is that like the vermicious knid? Are you talking about one of those...
The things that are like covered in nylon and they're like...
Okay, now I went from knowing what you're talking about to not knowing what you're talking about.
Things.
Are you talking about one of those muscle massagers that they sell in the Sharper Image catalog? Is that what you're referring to?
I'm not talking about the vibrating.
I have one.
Muscle massage.
Bam! Ladies and gentlemen, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, show ever from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll bring him in from home tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
It might be too late, though.
I was just going to say, I don't want to have to get Scotty back in here today. Because the problem with having...
His heart wasn't in it. I understand.
Well, I got this. Rick, you summoned Scotty J to give Sarah back rub. Now he can't hear you because the porn music is playing too loudly inside his head. And it's just weird.
That was so nice of Scotty.
It was making me uncomfortable to see Scotty give you a massage. It was making me feel very odd.
It was your idea.
Yeah, but I only meant it as a kooky sort of a gag.
My pain isn't funny.
No, your pain isn't funny, but Scotty J having to give somebody a massage. Because no offense, no, I don't mean any disrespect to Scotty like this, but when I look at Scotty, I think there's the world's worst massage giver.
Well, I think it would be considered salacious behavior for the suburbs, and perhaps that's why he's not experienced in doing it.
Yes.
Yes, maybe that was why he's a little uncomfortable.
Let's also skip over the fact that I, as a figuratively speaking, as a department head, told Scotty to come in and massage somebody on the air.
I know.
Oh no! See, he put you on the screen. I suck at. Well, what he's typed is I suck at messaging, but I'm pretty sure that he means massaging. The irony there is that they're both accurate.
Right.
All right, well, we'll see if
we can...
Sorry,
it's just not something he does at home. Somebody's supposed to say something here.
Sarah's kneading balls. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I don't know where to start after that. But we do know that a trick full of geese has overturned on Columbia Boulevard. Actually, it's not a geese truck, but a grease truck. It's overturned on Columbia Boulevard. And you wouldn't be going down there unless you're going to a junkyard. And why would you today? Because that's all that's down there.
Well, if you're somebody who's...
Or the cookie factory.
Really, if you're driving that way, I was going to say, you probably need grease for some reason or another anyway. That's...
You can scoop it and make some money.
Rick, I would be more than happy to loan Sarah my powerful kneading balls. They were talking about one of those kneading ball things that comes on the end of a stick.
Yeah, they're covered in nylon, so you just see them moving inside.
They're battery operated, and they are balls that circulate.
Instead of like this little like nylon sack thing.
They circle, and the balls then knead your massage area. The balls then knead your muscles. Anyway, this email says...
It's like your muscles knead the balls.
It says,
what is wrong with us?
I would be more than happy to loan Sarah my powerful kneading balls.
So immature.
I can't even finish it.
You think Wolf Blitzer and Candy Crowley are having a conversation?
Oh, I'm so glad that this didn't happen while Dick Giuliano was on hold. Oh, he was lording over the fact, he was lording it over Lisa Goddard that he got to be on. Oh, man, I'm really glad Lisa Goddard wasn't on the phone for this either. That would have been awkward. Oh, my God. Here's Tim Riley.
I think we need to talk about some serious things here.
I'm sorry. Should we play the serious music? Sarah, do we have the serious music prepared for today? The serious election music that we started?
Doing elections first. Okay.
Well, I know. Just to set the tone.
I see.
Let's just do this to set the tone set for the today's tone. News. Best news
It's ready
ever.
To go.
All right, here we go.
Some stories are being put into the news to make you think seriously about who you're voting for, such as this headline, the U.S. suburbs are more violent than Iraq.
That seems likely.
This story was put in the news today by
somebody. Is it in Ohio?
I don't know what Carl Rowe's been doing today, but it says...
Wow.
U.S. suburbs are more violent than Iraq.
Well, you know what? I should have asked Dick Giuliano about this, but I forgot, and I don't know. We haven't talked to that guy in like a year and a half, so I didn't want to put him on the spot. But you know what? Somebody said that Karl Rove, and I sometimes wonder if Karl Rove is sort of this Kaiser Soze figure, where we give him more credit for being evil and brilliant than really he deserved. Like, every scurrilous, weird, dirty trick the Republicans do now, like we sort of ascribe to Karl Rove. It's Karl Rove is behind this, and I wonder if that's his power, is that everybody thinks he's behind everything.
Or it's an 18-year-old intern actually writing these behind the scenes.
Well, that's the thing. Did you hear the latest? The latest suspicion now is, you know all these robocalls, they're calling them now, which is where you get the phone call at home, and it's like,
hello. This is your local chapter of the Democratic Party. Encouraging you to...
And the latest accusation is that Karl Rove, or whoever, in the GOP... that they are actually responsible for all of those Democratic phone calls, and the theory is they want to have so many automated phone calls go out from the Democrats that it will make people angry at the Democrats and then make them not vote. In fact, somebody sent me, now this is not a gag, somebody sent me one of the ones that is going out to people, and I believe this was to a guy in Virginia. Let me see if I have this here. This is... Sarah, is my computer up? No, I think this will play. And this is... A voter in Virginia got this.
You have three messages. Message one.
This is message for Timothy. Elections commissioners, please determine that you registered in New York to vote. Therefore, you will not be allowed to cast your vote on Tuesday. If you show up, you will be charged.
Now, you can't really hear this, but it's an automatic call from what purports to be the Virginia Elections Commission saying,
you are not licensed, you are not registered to vote in Virginia. If you show up, if you attend and try to vote, you will be charged and arrested.
And this is a guy who has his complete crap, like the guy, and it names him by name. It's like, this is for Tim, blah, 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 whatever his name is. If you attempt to vote, you will be arrested. And it's a guy who's voted, like, for the last 20 years there. And he just gets this automated phone call, and that's completely real. He just gets this automated phone message from somebody purporting to be the Virginia Elections Commission, telling them that they're going to stick him in the who's cow if he tries to vote. It's all very creepy.
That's weird.
It's completely
The voice
weird.
Is creepy, too.
Yeah. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, best show ever, Rick.
Thank you.
Before it breaks out into a full-on orgy there in the studio, Sarah should just take some ibuprofen. It can't be Tylenol or aspirin, but ibuprofen, about 800 milligrams worth, will get down the inflammation, and that's what's making her shoulder hurt.
Okay, thank you.
Are you a doctor?
Yeah, I was going to say, how do we know that you're being a buzzkill here? This has nothing to do with groping or kneading or fondling. Therefore, it is suspect to me.
Or cocktail. She could have, then the groping and kneading and fondling will get even more fun.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic. There you go. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
That's Jesse. Let's see. This email says... never mind. We'll get back to it. Here's Tim Riley.
So what do you want to hear about first? Flooding or election news?
Sarah?
Let's go elections.
Let's
see played it.
Election news.
All right. So let's go to A first then.
All right. I'm loaded here. All right. I'm ready.
It's time for everybody to be afraid because up first we have Rick Santorum cautioning people that Republicans are going to come out on top.
You don't get nothing when, you know, Rick Santorum or any other senator or congressman get voted out. You get something else, and the something else is a very dangerous thing for this, for the economy of this country.
Die.
They want to raise taxes. They want to increase the size of government. It's very dangerous for the security of this country.
You know, here's the thing. As when I was talking to Storm yesterday, when Storm called up, and she, because the Storm has recorded some of those, this is Storm Large, go vote, is some of those things. Mm-hmm. And I was poking fun and saying that I found that her, I found her naive, childlike belief in the power of voting to be sort of heartening in a way. So as much as voting,
well,
is...
It's refreshing not to hear that fellow with the blonde hair that used to be in that rock band.
Oh, sort of.
I just found
how ironic,
tonight.
Actually, that they've replaced our Alex August with Storm.
Well, I'm glad we have more than one celebrity in town now.
This is our Alex August.
I mean, he was like the only Portland celebrity. Not that he doesn't deserve it, and not that he isn't, but we need more than one a city of this size.
I actually bumped into him at a party the other night.
Did he ask you for cab fare?
No, I'm going to say, stop being mean to him. I guess people are sending him excerpts of our show when we're making fun of him.
Really?
Yes. Was really uncomfortable.
Why did you suddenly... What happened to you? When did you become a pod person?
Well, as soon as he became a real person again, because it's fun to make fun of somebody when they're far
abstract.
Away. And it's like, oh... You're sitting right next to me.
Well, who was I just saying the other day? We can never make... Oh, it's Rebecca Webb at Kink.
Yeah.
She of the, you know, the waking up Sarah Carlin. Sarah, I admire all the things you're doing for the school district in Maine. Oh, hello. Well, there I am doing it again. I guess it didn't really take. I was just going to say, though, that when I went over to Kink to see, who's the... Queensryche. She was there. And she's like, Rick, Rebecca Webb, nice to see... And then she made me some cookies. And it was like, that's the thing, is I can never really make fun of her again. That's the whole thing. It's like, once we meet somebody and they're cool to us, that's why we try to avoid meeting people at all. Because then once you meet somebody and they're really nice...
I'm better at it than anyone.
Well, that's... Tim really is. That's why Tim is the best one on the show. Because he doesn't really ever meet anybody. So he can just be...
Not like an Art Alexakis type of person.
He can be absolutely objective.
Well, he was really nice. His girlfriend, really young. Younger than me.
That's the way it should be.
I'm sure she has an old soul. Anywho. No, that's... I'm just saying. Really?
Yeah.
Hello. I'm just saying...
13?
No, you're reading the wrong order. And that was a 2. No, in no way is that happening.
No,
he's not dating a 13-year-old.
I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking my lucky...
You know, this being nice to him thing isn't going so well.
I haven't said anything. I've said nothing. All I'm saying is Tim Ryan.
Well, Rick Santorum says...
Oh, Rick Santorum.
Oh, can I tell you... Wait, Kristen... Sorry, back to the Arnold Saga scene really, really quick.
Best show ever.
So Kristen and I were at this party together, and we spent like 20 minutes trying to find an Everclear song on the jukebox. I've always wanted to do that.
I don't understand.
Because he was sitting across the room, and we're like, we have to play as many Everclear songs as we possibly can. And it didn't have any.
But I mean, why?
I thought I wanted to see the reaction.
Oh, I'm sure. Probably just one of bitterness. Probably just that would be my guess. It's like every, you know, it's like that thing is every time you you know, every time a bell rings and an angel gets his wings, every time you play an Everclear song, the government makes 18 cents. That's kind of the thing with that guy. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick Santorum, though.
Yes,
that's
Rick
how
Santorum.
We got into this, because we're talking to Storm, and as much as I was sort of poking a little fun at Storm for believing in the election process, wouldn't you love to be at Rick Santorum's house when he loses his job? Really? I mean, and look, we've been unemployed enough that we can make fun of unemployment of others. We were allowed to do it because we've been fired like 100 times in the last 5 years. I would just love to be there, just to give him a good chuck on the shoulder. Right there, just as he's being told that he has to pack up his crap and get out. That would be satisfying on a level I can't even begin to explain. We could all go. We could get Dan Savage, and we could all go together in a bus. All right,
that sounds fun. Anyway, Rick Santorum says you must have one thing on your mind when you walk in to vote, and that is security.
I see a Democratic Party that is weak, that is a party that wants to cut and run, that's a party that does not want to confront this evil, that will give evil time to prepare,
give evil time to arm, and
to project even greater power than they have today. That's the fear that I think a lot of Americans see with my opponent, Bob Casey.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Is Bob Casey evil?
Yes, apparently.
Oh, speaking of evil.
Apparently, yes.
Does that have to do with needing balls?
No, but okay. Americans in general, remember we played that soundbite of the president announcing that Saddam was going to hang, and the crowd reaction was cut off the soundbite?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I saw it live on CNN, and people are just going crazy,
oh,
cheering
yeah.
and clapping. It was like a Nuremberg rally.
Now, this is the thing, and God love, I mean, I have all the respect in the world to Lisa Goddard, because she's a CNN journalist, she knows what she's talking about, you know, but I do believe that she is in a little bit of a bubble about this, because we were talking about it yesterday, and I was saying, I think it was her I was talking about this, and I said, you know, the Saddam thing, I said, is this going to be good for Republicans, you know, some sort of a little bit of an October surprise? And she said, well, you know, the big news is the capture, not the hanging. And that is, I believe, a misread of the American public. The American public, and of course, this audience accepted.
Loves death.
Yeah, really? No, it's true. And no, and no,
as long as no blood is shown.
I was just going to say, and let's not excerpt me from that. I love death as much as the next guy, especially if it involves like an idiot college kid who's drunkenly trying to stand on a car as it's going through like a really low overpass. That's I'm all kinds of fine with that. I'm, you know, whatever. People inadvertently bringing about their own death, fantastic. But as we've said before, there's all kinds of people in this world who need killing. There's all kinds of people who deserve killing. There's no getting around that fact. But my point is that it is a little creepy right before the eve of the election, you have the government in what is clearly, look, and no one's here to defend Saddam Hussein, but I think we all understand that that is the very definition of like a kangaroo court. You know what I mean? I mean, there probably weren't even, it was probably,
and right before election day.
It was probably, the jury box probably just filled with like actual literal hand puppets. It was probably just like Syphil and Ollie. They're going, what should we do, Syphil? I don't know, let's send him to death. You know, and that's it.
We'll get a box of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And they bring it out like 3 days before the election. And we predicted that when they had that sound clip of Bush talking about, and Saddam Hussein been sentenced to death, that the crowd would just go bananas. And I told Lisa, this is the vast, the great swath of Americans are deeply stupid. Not just Americans, most people everywhere. But because we're in America, I'll talk about everything. Most Americans are deeply dumb. And you know that's a long-standing belief of mine and of the Rick Emerson Show, and probably of yours, too. And there is no, I mean, Americans don't do well with subtlety. Americans don't deal well with processing complex issues or very nuanced or subtle or many-faceted approaches.
Or phrases over four words.
No, and so if you just go, Saddam, we'll hang tomorrow. You know, mission accomplished. That's when people go nuts.
Right.
So I think that Lisa Goddard is a little bit off the mark there, because I think that sort of thing plays very well with the American public.
She's young and she'll learn.
It's true.
Bill Frist says there are going to be dire consequences if the Democrats win.
Taxes will go up, but also this question of security. In the Senate, you've seen votes on things like the Terrorist Surveillance Act, the Patriot Act, missile defense, where the Democrats have been very weak and the Republicans have been very strong. And as people get closer to that election day, they begin to think about their own security.
Yeah,
security.
Gays coming for your children. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, Frist says the Republicans are gaining ground as we speak.
The momentum up until about 2 weeks ago was with the Democrats, and in fact, the advantage was huge, where people said that whether it's for a Senate or a House race, they'd be preferring the Democrats. That lead has been cut in half over the last 10 days, and that's been shown by four different polls.
There's an astonishing number of people who got calls from Storm Large.
She didn't recall me.
Rick, I didn't, well, I mean, they must not call cell phones. That must be that thing that Michael Moore kept talking about in the 2004 election.
Is there like a Storm Large machine that's calling, or is she live?
A large bot. It's like last time my phone rang, my daughter called out, Mom, it's Storm Large! We put it on the speakerphone, and we were happy to hear Storm urge us to vote. Rock
that's
on.
That's pretty cool.
Patty. Todd the Corpse asked, you know, Todd the Corpse really does send the best emails. No pressure. No pressure to keep that up. But, Rick, did I just hear Rick Santorum say he wanted to come out on top? Yes. I believe it is. I believe it is true.
I believe that was the Reverend Hagrid that said that.
See, I'm going to skip this thing about the kneading balls and how the grease and so forth. I'm not even going to go that way. All right. So,
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. We're talking about about one of those massage things that you buy in the catalog that has the balls that rotate, and they need your tired flesh, they need your they need your muscles, etc. Apparently somebody has one of those. Rick, I would be more than happy to loan Sarah my powerful kneading balls Many a person has experienced the joy and pleasure of my kneading balls upon their body.
Why do I laugh at this?
Because we're five. Here's Tim Riley.
Tim's not laughing.
But I'm not allowed to show emotions.
Tim is a news. He's a news bot. Okay.
Hillary Clinton says that Republicans are voting Democrat this time around.
I had several Republicans say that they were going to vote Democratic. And I've seen that because the problems we face are not Republican or Democratic. They are American problems. And we need to get people working together again. And I'm afraid the only way that's going to happen is if we change leadership in Congress.
Somebody's running for president. Yeah. Somebody's running for president.
That was a good statement.
All right.
That was.
Now I see it's not my position, not my place to pry into how people vote. But I suspect if we were to go around, this room right here, I think everybody is...
We'll say they're going in a different direction.
I think all the people in this room are in favor of voting in somebody like Hillary Clinton just to screw things up. I don't even care if she'd be a good president. Really, just to screw...
I'm partial to Condoleezza Rice.
Well, see, man...
But where is she lately?
They're keeping her... I'm glad you asked, Tim Riley.
Woman versus woman.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that would be...
Oh, that'd be sexy, too. Yeah.
You just want them to fight and make out.
Totally, totally. I find Condoleezza Rice really attractive.
I hate you because you think she's super... Because it's her superpower. She's totally a powerful woman.
Oh, well, I do think... And see, and I'm not typically, you know, that's...
Is it the leather?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Well, and I'm not one of those guys who, like, once, you know, like, I need a woman in thigh-high boots to jump up and down on my head. You know, I don't need, you know, this sort of guy, I need her to step on mice and then come over to my house. I don't, that's not my deal. But it is kind of sexy to me, though, that she's a powerful woman. It's like with cops. It's like, I find female cops to be really hot. But I think Condoleezza Rice is attractive, just physically speaking. I think just in a physical sense, I think Condoleezza Rice is a pretty woman. And she has the gap in her teeth, which I kind of find hot, too. I don't know why. Clyde and I have talked about that a lot, actually. Not alone. Out in public, kind of brightly, you know, while fully clothed. Because it's like Madonna. And we've had a lot of discussion here about Madonna and the gap in her teeth and whether it goes away or whether it's always there. But the gap of Madonna's teeth is sexy, too. No, here's the thing. A, this is how you know that Condoleezza Rice is being groomed for a run at the presidency, whether she does it or not. And Sarah just put her finger on it. It's because they're totally keeping her stashed in a basement right now. Because they know that the Republicans are just getting tainted left and right. The Republicans are just getting, they're just getting all kinds of, they're coming out real dirty. They've got a lot of bad perceptions. The American public hates them. They're just totally getting tainted and tarred.
She's in a bunker with Nancy Pelosi.
Absolutely. They are keeping Condoleezza Rice out of the spotlight right now. So she does not come out with any of this, come out with any of this Republican taint on her. She does. Rick Santorum, for example, he's unpopular with the public, and you don't want to be. And he is tainted. You don't want to be seen with him because you don't want to come out with Rick Santorum's taint on you.
I see.
I did have a real point, which is that they're trying to keep her away from the Democrat or from the Republicans publicly so that her image is still very clean when she tries to run for presidency, which she will. And secondly, you know who thinks that it's going to be Condoleezza versus Hillary is Dick Morris. And then Dick Morris, whatever you think about that guy, he's a guy who knows what he's talking about. That's a guy. He's nobody's fool. And he... we have to break here. We have nobody at 12:30, by the way, but we do have to break here. But he wrote a whole book. I think it's actually just called Condi versus Hillary, and it came out last year. And it is his contention that Hillary will run against Condoleezza Rice, that will be how it shapes up. And that's a thing I can't even let myself think about. I can't even let myself think about it. It's like when you think you have a winning lottery ticket, but you can't find it because it's at home in a drawer somewhere. I just can't even let myself ponder it because it just makes me too giddy. And it is hot. All right. Should we break here?
Sure. Why not? Then what happens?
We're going to break. We'll come back. We'll have more. This is a very exciting day. Lots of breaking news today. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, 1 o'clock, we'll have Ed McCarthy. 1:30, Jim Roop. Dennis Pitzenbarger stopping in later as well. We'll give Sarah Dillon a pop culture catchphrase test. And we'll try to make everybody nervous about tomorrow's Joshua Jackson interview. Yeah. Listen to that. Sarah's kneading balls.
Carson show. Rick, this email says, I agree with you. Condi is hot in Ice Spa. But it's the kind of hot that's only hot on the outside. As soon as you start to think of her in a thong, it's kind of ruined.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, all right. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Here in a few moments, we'll be rejoined by Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. All right. So now, have we... Scotty, would you... You don't need to come in here for this, but... So you had somebody call in and report this? Is that the deal? You had a listener call in and report this thing, that, because I want to make sure that we've heard it from a couple places before we... And Sarah... Nate has seen it now reported by somebody as well?
Yes, it's on LiveJournal. Somebody right. just posted it.
Okay, so the word that we are hearing, and again, this is unconfirmed. So let's make sure that they're saying this is unconfirmed. But we have now heard from a couple people that there's a report that somebody jumped off a building
downtown
Portland. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Just read the entry that we have.
All right, somebody put this in the Damn Portlander site. That's where a lot of Portland people go. Someone just jumped off of the top floor suite of the Ambassador Hotel. I think it's around Park and Taylor by the Starbucks. I was walking back to the office from dropping off my ballot at the library and saw a bunch of cop cars and fire engines. I asked someone what happened, and they said someone jumped. I looked up at the building and saw a broken window. Below, I saw a body with an orange tarp draped over.
All right, so... Oh.
Why would you jump through a window? That doesn't...
Well, that's like a thrown through.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speculating.
Oh, this is all legislative.
I'm speculating. Yeah, let's be very clear.
If you're going to kill yourself, I don't think you jump through a window.
Well, what's one more cut? What's one more place to bleed from? So this is... So we're just...
A legend.
This is a legend. We don't have any confirmation on this, although I know that we have a lot of listeners who are sort of inside. They work for the man. So if you know anything about this, if you're able to kind of confirm this, let us know as soon as you know anything. But yeah, we've had a couple different people report now that there has been somebody who either was pushed, jumped, or was thrown somehow from above. From what did it say? What floor?
The top floor.
The top floor. How high is the Ambassador Hotel?
Ambassador. Which one is that?
I don't know.
It says it's like ninth. It's around ninth.
It's a ninth. I know exactly where it is. It's the ninth. You're talking about Ninth and Park. It's right by the old Willamette Week building. If you know where that is, isn't that right there? The
yeah.
Ambassador. Yeah, that's exactly.
Right near the library.
Yeah, and it is exactly across the street from a Starbucks, and there are those. If I'm thinking of the right hotel, and I think I am, it's right across the street from those. Not kiosks, but there's those like Greek food stands that are right there. You know, it's like those kind of like trailers. It's like those sort of like Airstream looking trailers where they sell like you know, like baklava and whatever. So those are right there. So so we can and we'll get some sort of confirmation of that. We're in just a moment here. We're going to be rejoined by Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Tim will rejoin us here in just a second. So we're waiting to get some confirmation of that. But we've had a couple people now tell us that there's somebody who has somebody who's either fallen or jumped or whatever, but there's
still no confirmation. There is still no confirmation on that.
Yes. All right, so we've had it reported by a few people, but
allegations.
It is not confirmed, and so it should be treated as an allegation until we hear otherwise. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us now resume. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
All right, well, let's talk about these. You know what's hot today? Joe Lieberman.
Joe Lieberman is hot every day.
Joe Mentum. He's back with us once more in Red Bank B, so let's find out what's on the mind of Joe.
Said I will go to Washington to do what I've always done, to work across party lines to get things done for our state and country, and always level with the people, stand up, thank you, stand up for what I think is right.
Fantastic. You think by now I would be prepared.
Oh, that was a horn for Joe Lieberman.
Get out of the road! Why am I...
Honk if you had Joe Mentum.
Why am I not... Why am I not prepared with the Joe sounder again? Wait, hold on. For the love of God. For the love of God and all that is said. Now I don't even know where it is.
Oh, darn it.
I can't even find the Joe Mentum sounder now. All right, well, let's move forward. So that's Joe. Let me see.
Helen?
Oh,
why do you do these things?
Oh, that's not it. I have no idea. Well, I'll find the Joe Mentum sound here in a while. All right, so there you go.
All right, and here we are. It's 503-733-2970. It's the weirdest.
The weirdest day.
It really is the weirdest day ever. I think massages for, rub downs for all, ladies and gentlemen. You don't even, I got, let's see here, we got another one. Rick, as the official masseur of the Rick Emerson Show, I will offer the full professional services necessary for your perfect sidekick, Sarah, where she will deem my hands far more enjoyable than any machine could possibly be. By the way, as for Storm, you make no mention of her singing the national anthem at the Blazers game. She was stunning beyond belief, and I'll make a bet that she gets more offers to sing at stadiums everywhere. Let's see. New slogan for the Rick Emerson Show, bringing a new direction to grease and massage. This is, okay, let's just, in the course of one show so far, we're not even halfway done. It's not even 1 o'clock
yet. Yeah, we haven't even been here for 2 hours.
We've got this alleged, all right, now what is that, Sarah?
That's state of emergency for the flooding.
Okay, but that's
no news organization.
We have no confirmation of this. Or this person downtown that allegedly jumped her, it came off the Ambassador Hotel. Now again, if you are in downtown, oh wait, here we go. All right, I'm getting something here. Let's see. No. Okay, you can't. We're trying to find out actual information. You can't. People can't just be emailing in with. People can't be emailing in with subject lines that look really serious, and then it's just a joke about, Rick, don't fall for this story. That's no way to help us get ahead, sir. All right, so here's what's happened so far in today's program. We've had voting irregularities. We have floods. We have, I swear to God, a huge truck filled with grease that tipped over on Columbia Boulevard from I-5 to MLK. The roads are now clogged with grease, not unlike my arteries. And then we're having these, again, allegations, unfounded allegations so far, that there is a body that has fallen or jumped from the Ambassador Hotel in downtown Portland. Again, not confirmed. But we're trying to find confirmation. So if you are downtown, please don't drive into the area to look at this. But I mean, if you happen to be there, if you are in that area now, and if you can see that, if you just, okay, now this is, and again, I'm reading an email here, and this is from someone who claims to be downtown, but again, this is that we have not had any confirmation for this from the man. Rick, we have a job site right across the street from that building. One of our employees was just leaving for lunch when it happened. From what he said, it certainly didn't look accidental. There was a broken window, and then he says that there is a body in the street, or was.
Oh.
This is from, again, I'm reading this, and this looks like a very legitimate email, but I have no way of knowing that this is true or not. So this is from somebody who says, all right, now here we go. Here's another one. Rick, yeah, he says this email says there was a jumper. There was a body in the street, and it's unclear about whether that's still there. It looked. I'm imagining it's probably blocked off downtown. So if you're downtown, if you are in that area, you can either email us or you can let us know. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Again, there's an allegation, the alleged jumper. From the top of the Ambassador Hotel in downtown Portland. So we've got that. We got this grease truck growing over. We got the election. We got the hey. We got all that. So we'll confirm this as soon as we know, anything about it. In the meantime, here is Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, you're probably wondering what Arnold Schwarzenegger is doing today. He is out casting his ballot and calls on others to do the same.
Is this, where are we, in Bank B?
We're in Bank B, yes.
I hope that
two.
The people of California vote today. I think this is extremely important that they're part of the decision-making in which direction we're going to take the state of California. It's also important that they look at the measures, at the bond measures very seriously, because it's very important that we rebuild California.
And we're going to talk to Jim Roop about that. I think at the, what is it, the Roop at 1:30? I think we're going to talk to Roop at 1:30 about this. I it should be noted, I was listening to Stephanie Miller this morning, and she had, God, was it Howard Dean? It must have been Howard. It was somebody. It was Stephanie Miller. Oh, no, it was, God, who was it? It was Harry Reid. She was talking about this morning. Presumptive Senate Majority Leader, depending on how this goes for the Democrats. And he, like, in the space of about 45 seconds, that guy used the phrase New Direction for America like 8 different times. It really was just fantastic on every conceivable level. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about hacking into voting machines,
shall
we?
Could this day be any more chaotic? And I don't even mean that it's been bad as such. It is, as always, the best show ever. I'm just saying this day has just really been this one huge bristling, bustling ball of needing energy and so forth. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there was no realistic way an individual could hack into one of those new fangled electronic voting machines. According to a man responsible for examining them, Michael Chavis is a professor of computer science at Carnegie Mellon University. He is responsible for examining and certifying the machines at the state level in Pennsylvania. He claims the machines are under guard at a storage facility over on the north side and publicly prepared.
Any kind of caper. One can imagine Hollywood scenarios with people spending huge amounts of time and money and swooping down in a polling place and, you know, doing something. But it's never happened, and there's certainly no reason to believe that it would happen. And I think we'd know if it
did. Does anybody really worry about capers in 2006? That's like worrying about great train robberies or something.
Unless there's some dame behind it.
I was going to say, Bob Hoskins in a fedora, smoking a stub of a cigar. All right, you get on there and you take the caboose.
Some smoky back alley after being out all night doing the foxtrot.
I was just going to say, is that going to be with some other guy who runs the numbers?
That's after you see the floor show?
Can I just tell you this, that I don't, for the life of me, I don't understand what running the numbers means. That's one of those things they talk about. I mean, I know that it's some sort of illicit gambling activity that usually takes place in 1920s Chicago with a guy who wears like a wide-brimmed hat that has a feather on top of it. But I don't really know what it means. Is that when they say run the numbers, is that just some sort of a, is it like when you're, is it like a horse racing thing, or is it like a, is it just any kind of a sports book like gambling thing? I don't really even know what it means. I will tell you this right now, like all suburban white men, my entire experience with, quote, running the numbers comes from the movie Malcolm X, where there's a whole long sequence about, what's his name, Red or whatever, and where he's going to have Malcolm whacked because he claimed that his number came in and it really didn't and so forth. I just have no idea what that actually means. This email says, Rick, today's events just keep getting weirder and weirder. Just wait until tomorrow after all the voting is done, if in fact it turns out to be possible. I think it will be a very interesting day. Let Armageddon begin, this email.
Everybody buy some extra toilet paper on the way home.
Get a year's supply of canned goods and a dozen wives and prepare for the arrival of Christ. So there you go. So we are still waiting, and again, we say right now that it is unconfirmed, although we've gotten several people now who have... in the downtown area who have reported seeing something like this, or seeing the one guy says that he was across from the Ambassador Hotel and that he, you know, a guy and his work crew witnessed a body, someone jumping or falling, and again, this is unconfirmed. And we've had a few emails from downtown, people who say that the police are assembled there, and that there is, it does appear that is on the surface of it anyway, that appears to be the... That appears to be the case. I would like to say, by the way, it is emblematic of all the great and terrible things about this show that we're trying to find out about. We're trying to find out about the grease spill earlier, in which case it was all kinds of whatever. It was a thing that was impacting transit, that it was impacting people trying to get from one area to the other. No calls on that. Trying to figure out whether there's actually been a body that has somehow come off the Ambassador Hotel. No response to that. I ask about gambling immediately. 15 calls. The people who want to explain exactly what it means to run the numbers. Tom, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Welcome to the weirdest, best day ever.
Running the numbers was basically the lottery before it was taken over by the state. It was usually 3 to 4 numbers long. Kind of, you know, everybody in the neighborhood had a buck versus, you know, you come up with the 3 numbers they were going to pull. And, of course, like most things, it's wrong when we do it. Government's perfectly okay with it.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Now, so what is the deal? So if you were going to play the numbers, so you're just some guy sitting on a stoop in the neighborhood. A dude comes through and he says, what's your number? And you say 21.
Yeah, usually you go down to the bar, kind of like, you know, you're going to bet on the racetrack, you bet on the numbers. You run the numbers down to the bar.
And so who pulls, like, where does the number come from? Who pulls it?
One of the ever-so-trustworthy mafia.
Oh, that seems... All right. That seems like a great idea. That seems trustworthy. All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. That's Tom, his answer about the running the numbers and so forth. What is this line 3 about, Scotty? Is this another numbers call, or is this a downtown Portland call on line 3 here? I'll just whistle to myself. It's a Okay, wait, hold. It's just because you want me to play the song, right? All right, okay. Oh, now it doesn't want to play. Sherrod, you are, Scotty. You'll have to reload your Grease theme. It doesn't want to play. Yeah, in your face. Okay, do we have an update on the Grease? This is the weirdest day ever. We are juggling like 15 stories at once here. What's up with the Grease spill, sir?
Okay, so the story goes that there's the truck was actually hauling clean oil of some sort or other. So there's no real smell to it, but it has closed down the Columbia River, both I-5 north and southbound exits. And they're cleaning it up. They're out there with the sponges or biscuits or something. I don't know. But it's an ongoing cleanup. This is down to the captain.
They're out there with grits. Grits. So my mom's answer to everything. What are we having for dinner, Mom? Pig's knuckles and grits. Or hominy. Sometimes we were having hominy. And there was nothing that couldn't be. There was no liquid that you could not serve again the next day at my house as long as it was accompanied by a huge biscuit with which to sop. I remember my mom, just as a brief side note, we would actually finish sauerkraut at my house, and my mom would actually take the sauerkraut juice and, like, pour it into a glass, serve it to us. I swear to God, serve it to us the next day. Here you go. Here's your sauerkraut juice and a biscuit. Have fun. All right. So there you go. So the grease spill has closed off what roads now?
It's closed off the I-5 on-ramp to both north and south from Columbia Boulevard.
All right.
And the fact is that I blame this all on you, Rick. I blame it on you because you were the one that opened the Pandora's dumpster with the Hulk Hogan's Heroes. And it all goes downhill from here.
And today is, it really is. And today is just like a big, today is? Today's show is like one of those sweaters that they show in the before and after when they're selling you that clothes shaving device, pill shaver. That's what today's program is. I mean, it's a perfectly usable sweater, but it's just covered with tiny little things. And today the things are Hulk Hogan's Heroes and also a grease spill and also this thing happened at the Ambassador Hotel downtown. Also election fraud. Also machines imploding. Also a film crew here. So we're really packing like 5 days worth of shows into one.
Street corpses.
Right.
Who needs them?
Okay, there you go. Thank you. That does not represent the views of CBS Radio Portland or the Rick Emerson Radio Show. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Faith Hill says she was only joking when it looked like she was furious to lose the best female vocalist at the Country Music Association Awards last night in Nashville. When Carrie Underwood was named the winner, Hill could clearly be seen screaming, "What?"
And then stomping off camera. Okay, let's just talk about
it. There was no laughter after screaming, "What?"
No.
There was angry storming away.
Tim, have you seen this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's all
brilliant.
Over the internet.
Do you have it on your website?
Oh, I have it. Yeah, you go to rickemerson.com. Is it at timrileymedia.com?
It isn't.
It's sarahxdillon.com. So you can go to either sarahxdillon.com or rickemerson.com, and you can see this Faith Hill video, which is fantastic, by the way. Now, I'm just going to play the audio here, which won't really mean much, because it's really the video that goes along with this. Let me see if I can. I'll see if I can play this here. This is and this is from last night. This is from the Country Music Association Awards. But what happens is that there's this is at the CMAs, and this is live on ABC last night. It's fantastic. Go to rickemerson.com right now, and you can see this. What happens is that they're announcing the female artist of the year, and it's Carrie Underwood. And let's talk about Carrie Underwood for a second. First of all, she is unbelievably bad at singing live. I don't know if anybody heard her sing that, whatever. It's not the Jesus Take the Wheel. It's the whatever the new one is, the Before He Cheats or He'll Think, whatever that song is. But I was here working late last night, and they were playing the CMAs live on KUPL. And there were a couple songs that were really good. Little Big Town or whatever they're called, Little Big Texas, Little Big Man, Little Big Horn, whatever. It's some band. They sang a song that was really great. It was immediately followed by Carrie Underwood attempting to sing live, and man, just as flat as an ironing board, her voice. I mean, just as bad as you can imagine. But she is really. It took me a while to figure out why I was finding her so hot last night, and I finally put my finger on it. I finally put my finger on Carrie Underwood, and why she is so attractive to me, and it's because Carrie Underwood. And if you spent any time in the last few months of summer driving up Hawthorne past, what is that place, Vesuvia? What is that place on Hawthorne, right by the barley mill? Whatever, there's that intersection there. There's a 7-Eleven, And there's that V, that restaurant with a big V on it on Hawthorne, and
oh,
the
Vincente?
Starbucks Vincente's.
Yeah, the best pizza ever.
There was
so
a
good.
Billboard there for the Country Jamboree for the longest time that had this picture of Carrie Underwood looking over her left shoulder, sort of like Betty Grable style. And it was just the most, she looked so stunning, just unbelievably hot. And I couldn't put my finger on why she looked so beautiful, and now I've got it. And really what it is that she looks just like Kate Hudson as Penny Lane in Almost Famous. That's the deal. But it's Carrie Underwood, Sarah Evans, Martina McBride, and Gretchen Wilson. And the only thing I know about Gretchen Wilson is she sings with Kid Rock on the country mix of that Picture song. And that she sings this song, Redneck Girls, which is wonderful. But and Faith Hill. And everybody knows Faith Hill because she's America's country sweetheart or whatever. And she's married to Tim McGraw. And they go, and they're doing this thing on the screen. And I will, and you should go to rickemerson.com and check this out. But we'll play the audio. I want to tell you what happens on the screen here.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Yes.
An unnamed source just wrote to me and said that she is infamous to be known as a bitch.
Oh, this is Faith Hill?
Yes, this is Faith Hill. So that she isn't joking that she is, in fact, a real bitch.
Well, that's the thing is, like, the nicer they are in public, you know that the bigger the a-holes that they are in private life, right? That's the thing. It's like it's always the people who are really sickeningly sweet. Did anybody here watch Rosie O'Donnell's show when she was doing the daytime talk show?
Well, that was a long time ago.
I mean, but I remember during that time she was, you know, she could never really hide the fact that she was just a terrible person. I remember when she was in there, the Queen of Nice, they were calling her. And it's like, it was just so patently obvious to even the casual observer that she was just a terrible, terrible person. Why is someone calling my cell phone? Well, that's going to have
to. They want you to get out and vote.
It probably is. So they're doing that thing where they announce the award, and there's all five of them on screen. And you know, I mean, and look, we've all seen award shows our whole lives. You are on screen when you are nominated. And when they announce the winner, your face stays on screen for like 5, 6, 7 seconds. Two things. A, so you can applaud the winner, who is not you. And B, so that the winner can make their way to the stage, right? And what's the deal? You're supposed to, when they say, and the award for best newsman on AM 970 goes to Doyle Redland. And then they cut to Tim Riley going,
or Scotty.
And Scotty. And they cut to Tim Riley applauding. Here's what happens.
And the award for female vocalist of the year goes to...
Can you open it? Carrie Underwood!
Okay, now...
And the award for female...
This, I can't explain how great this is. You really have to see it, but it's a two-stage reveal here, where Faith Hill is on the screen as they're announcing, and the award goes to... Carrie Underwood, the victory pose. She was so convinced she was going to win as they started to Carrie Underwood, as like a K is coming out. Faith Hill puts her hands up in like the Nixon victory pose and mouths the word like, yeah, and like clearly thinking she's won. And then a split second later, she just screams. And there's no sound, but you can see her screaming, what? And then she stomps off camera, muttering under her breath. It's so, let's now hear the studios watch this slow motion.
Female vocalist of the year.
Now watch this.
Can you open it?
She's smiling.
Carrie Underwood!
Up go Faith Hill's hands, and then she screams, what, at the camera, and stomps off. It's fantastic.
Cat fight.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So I have a statement from her manager,
okay.
Gary Borman. He discussed claims that Hill was upset. He says, quote, I've worked with Faith for many, many years now, and the idea that she would ever insult or undermine another artist, let alone another human being's success, is absolutely preposterous.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Those who know her know she's incapable of such action.
No,
she was being playful while the nominations are being read, and playful afterwards.
Of course. Exactly. Oh, my God. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll get Ed McCarthy here in just 1 second here. Let's see. Let's quickly get our... wait. Do I have the... with the whole... Hold on.
No.
No, I don't... no. And wait. Let's get the...
KLTK!
Our good friend, former Godlike Program Director Bruce Agler. Hello, sir.
Well, sir, somebody's going to be sorely disappointed, I'm afraid. I had called originally to fill you in on numbers running.
Yes.
And when somebody else already answered that question, I told Scotty I was going to go ahead and get off. And he said, no, you have to stay on. You have to stay on because Rick has to play this new opening I made for you. Oh, it's going to be so great. You've got to stay on. But Scotty, I don't have anything else to talk about. No, you've got to stay. And then you didn't play the new opening anyway.
K-L-T-K.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? He's not even in the room. He walked off to the kitchen to get a bagel. That's what he gets. All right.
So I was going to answer your question about numbers running, but somebody answered that pretty well. The only thing I can add is apparently the numbers game does still continue in places like the Bronx.
We had to do it ourselves. That's how I
should know. We're in your own gambling operation. I'm surprised you didn't know where Columbia Boulevard was, though.
Because that's
where the sewer plant is that you wanted to go visit.
Oh, fantastic. Well, there's a Columbia Boulevard in Kennewick, so it kind of screws me up.
So we still have to get you arranged to go visit the wastewater treatment plant.
We should totally. That should be the Rick Emerson winter field trip.
All right.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the effort, though. There you go. Bruce Aglow, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get... Here's the deal, Sarah.
Yeah.
I know we're running late, but we've got Ed McCarthy, and we have somebody at the scene of the ambassador downtown. So let's get Ed McCarthy right here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Hello, how are you?
Hey, how are you? You know, I like his laugh pretty good, too.
He's got it. No, there's our former godlike, well, not formerly godlike, our godlike former program director. A man who molded this program into the glistening example of journalistic integrity that it now is, sir. All right.
It certainly is.
It is, man, it has just been a day of absolute chaos here, and not just because of the election. First of all, this is the election. There's a flood happening in Portland. There is,
I
swear to God, there is an overturned semi-truck filled with grease on a highway here that is closed to highways, and we've got somebody who apparently just threw themselves off a building in downtown Portland.
Oh.
It is just, we're just now at the halfway point of the program. It is just chaos. So thank you for joining us, it is just Ed, and lending a voice of clarity here. Well, first of all, is there anything big, because I know you've got some sort of election facts and factoids to share with us, but I mean, is there anything big happening in election returns and results right now that we need to know about?
I don't know. Election returns, turnout's been very, very steady, and I actually got a chance to vote today, finally, which was good. I got out of there and went and voted. Notice that what they're talking about with a lot of these little mess-ups with these computers, you know, and all, they had a problem where I went. It was checking you in, and it took like 5 to 10 minutes to get you checked in, and they kept saying, well, you know, we have to keep rebooting the computer, and he's asking her, is it the weather, do you think? Because we got a lot of rain today.
You know, we started the beginning of the show here. We started by reading through, I think, reports from 8 different states, where as of like 11 a.m. this morning, there was the reports from 8 different states that people couldn't vote. The machines were processing things wrong. The paper ballots were getting destroyed. I mean, it's a chaos out there.
I got a chance to vote, and I ended up writing in 2 of my neighbors for positions that I didn't know who the people were. So.
You know, when in doubt, sir, you can always write in Rick Emerson. That is not unappreciated.
That's right.
All right.
And I should have done that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're talking about the oddity factor here. And it is kind of interesting that some of these things have gone on. Allison Schwarz, who's running in Pennsylvania. There's the guy that's running against her, a Republican. He's probably glad that Trump isn't in the Keystone State, because this guy is, his name is Raj Peter Bhakta, and he was fired by the Donald during season 2 of The Apprentice.
Oh, right. Yeah, my wife actually was a big fan of his early on. She thought he was going to go all the way there. So there's actually there's a guy from The Apprentice now. Is he allowed to mention that when he runs? Is he allowed to say, like, I'm from The Apprentice, vote for me?
I don't know. You might not want to mention it because there was another candidate in Florida who didn't get past the primary who was on The Apprentice. I'm not so sure if it's good for them.
What else are you really going to do? You've been on that show. There's only so many ways you can. There's only so many ways you can leverage the fact that you got kicked off early of a reality show. It's true. So hey, are you guys having flooding? Sounds like another weather question. Is it flooding where you are? Are you guys having floods down there?
We are getting a lot of rain, probably going to get an inch of rain, but we're not getting flooding. But I see what you guys are getting. You're getting that Hawaiian pineapple factor.
See, why does everybody know the phrase pineapple? I've lived in the Northwest most of my life, lived here for almost a decade. Everybody knew the phrase pineapple factor but me. I thought Tim was making it up.
No, it's a combination of winds and rain in the front, and it's pushing that way. And it's just horrible. In fact, my daughter mentioned it to me. She says, boy, she says, they're getting socked up in
up in Seattle and up in Portland. She says it's unbelievable, the flooding. And I saw some of the video today. That river looked really angry.
No, it is very weird. All right. Well, I appreciate you bearing with us today. I got to skedaddle here, so we had all this stuff we got to take care
of.
No
problem.
We will undoubtedly check in with you, if not tomorrow, then in the immediate future, to see kind of what the wrap-up of all the election chaos is everywhere. So this,
we'll do the post-mortem tomorrow, absolutely.
Absolutely,
right,
my friend.
Good luck out there with everything.
Thank you, sir.
Sounds like a wacky day.
Yeah, watch out for grease trucks, Ed McCarthy.
Okay. Yeah,
right, Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
Watch out for snakes.
Let me see if I can. Let's now welcome.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Just welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show. A good friend, Aaron, recently married geek in the city. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up? Now, where are you at?
I'm actually on Salmon and I think Park.
Okay, so you are...
It's the Ambassador Hotel. It's the Paramount Hotel.
It's the Paramount.
The Paramount, okay.
Yeah, it's, I guess, like Kitty Corner from the Fox Tower.
Okay.
Totally, right now, with Dragon... Is that the one with Dragonfish on the bottom?
It's the one on the J. Adam.
Right, yeah, and it's right by those, the Greek sandwich places and all of that.
All right. And there is a huge construction site, so that one guy with email was probably not messing with you.
All right, what's going on? What's the cops, they got it all ringed off?
The entire area is it's roped off with police tape. I just watched them push the covered body into the back of what's probably like the forensics truck or, you know, some kind of, you know, police vehicle that can carry bodies, I guess.
And is it the guy said that he saw the body there and was like covered with like an orange tarp or whatever. Are you able to?
Yeah, it was an orange tarp. And it's weird because, you know, it's not to get all morbid, but you can see, you know, stained leaves, you know, on the ground because the rain's kind of washing some of it away.
So do you see a broken window, Aaron?
Yeah, it's the very top floor. Like, I've never been in this hotel, but I'm assuming it is the penthouse because it is the very, very top. And it's the center window. You know, like in hotels, you can't really open those big windows.
And so, so how many floors? Can you count how many floors that is?
Yeah, let me see.
We're talking about this. So this is the
15.
So that's.
And a couple of them are double floors because, you know, like the restaurant, you know, takes up two floors on its own.
And yeah, you're right.
I was just there last week. My friend, my friend's friend was staying there. We sat dinner there.
And you're totally right that those that high up, the windows wouldn't open. It's like when you stay in.
Yeah, because like in hotels, the window side ones crack open and it's the big panoramic center ones and it's just completely shattered out.
That's brutal.
Oh, that's so weird. And so is it.
Was there anything thrown through the window? Do you see like a chair or anything that they would have used to smash it?
I can't see if it is. They picked it up already.
Yeah.
I'm assuming what might have been some kind of on-site detective or somebody. Someone who wasn't in a regular uniform was already taking statements. And one vehicle had already pulled away with items put inside. So if something was thrown out ahead of time, it's long gone already.
All right. Now, I got an email right here. I have an email right here from somebody who says they witnessed it. And it looks, I've pre-read this email, and it seems very on the level.
And the fire department is right now going to literally hose off the street. They're about to hose the street. It's really loud. It's because the fire truck is going to start pumping water.
Okay. All right. So this is Aaron is downtown, right near the Paramount. This email says, Rick, first off, nothing against your callers, but unless they saw the jump in person, like I did, tell them to shut the F up. He says, number one, and this is Aaron has clarified this, it's the Paramount Hotel where the incident happened. I was this email says, I was across the street at Michael's Clothiers, leaving, as we all heard the window break from the corner hotel room. Then, Sarah, a chair came falling down. Then a second later, a well-dressed man.
Oh, my God.
He says, it's taken me about half an hour to compose myself.
Yeah, these high up, these windows can, you know, they can usually take a body hitting them. So I would imagine it makes sense if someone threw something against it.
What kind of a statement? How would you possibly know that?
Because well, no, there's glass.
In high hotels before, and sometimes you hit the window and you think, oh, I'm glad this is a thick glass.
Okay, that's fair. Sometimes you've got the maid bent up against the window, and you ask yourself, is this double pane?
That's right.
All right. So this is, and I won't give this guy's name, but this, by the way, this is a person who anybody would know, but it's a guy who's emailed me a lot. So it's a guy I know. This guy's on the level.
Yeah, and if he was in Michael's would have, unfortunately, Michael's would have had a direct shot because they're right across the street from the actual window.
Yeah. So he says again. He says it's the Paramount Hotel.
This email says, I was across the street at Michael's Clothiers leaving as we all heard the window break from the corner hotel room. Then a chair came falling down. Then a second later, a well-dressed man. It's taken me about half an hour to compose myself, he says. So so this does look like that's how it happened.
And of course, typical of America, after they're hosing down, the hotel has already sent out the Mexicans to start sweeping up debris. No rest for my brown brethren. Off to work.
All right. Well, brother, thanks for checking in. And if anything else, it sounds like everything that's happened is going to happen.
Yeah, now it's weird. People who stay in the hotel, like one floor below, they're all sticking their heads out and looking up now. Now it's just getting weird and creepy.
Well, and once they get to the hosing, I mean.
If they're one floor below it, how did they get their windows open? Is it just the.
The side windows you can crack open.
They open a little bit. It's like in New York. Actually, this is funny. Not funny, but it's interesting. When Laura and I were in New York for New Year's Eve, we stayed at like this dingy hotel for the first week or so, and then we saved up. And on New Year's Eve, we stayed at the Crown Plaza right in Times Square. And we're like way above there. And anyway, we're way up high. We were on I don't know what floor it is, but I mean, it was like dozens and dozens of floors up. And you start thinking about, you get these morbid thoughts, if I wanted to, could I jump out this window?
Out on my way down.
What's that?
Could I take somebody out on the way down?
Yeah. Am I just going to bounce off a canopy down below? But the windows open about 6 inches, and there must be some government regulation about, you can't fit a shoulder through or something, because the window opened about 6 inches. Even that was enough to freak you out, though, fact that you could open it 6 inches. So, if you wanted to kill yourself, you really would have to break the window, and it would take... Do we have Tim?
Nothing about that, but we do have something after this.
All right, so Aaron, we're going to let you go. Thank you. If anything else happens, let us know. Thank you for giving us the scoop.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Aaron, and we're late, but we're just going to go later here. That's Aaron. In a moment, we have another guy who says he witnessed it, so we'll talk to him in a second. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
But first, Britney Spears has officially filed for divorce.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Best day ever.
Seriously, we had to take the rest of the week off.
It's weird.
We had to just, call it a day.
It reminds me of that book, Girlfriend in a Coma, when everything all of a sudden starts to happen right before the end of the world.
Totally, that's exactly. These are the end times.
Oh my God.
Today are the end times. Do you have...
That's all we know. That news flash just came in from MSNBC. She has filed for divorce.
Britney Spears has officially filed. Okay, if you are just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, hold on.
I don't think I can take much more of this today.
If you are just joining us, election machines everywhere in the country are malfunctioning. Portland is flooding. There is a grease truck overturned. Britney Spears has filed for divorce, and somebody just jumped to their death from the top of the Paramount Hotel. It's not even 1:30 yet. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live, local, and relatable. So let's hear Laura Ingraham talk about this. So there you go. That is it's not even, it's 1:14 all this has happened. Let's take another call, and then we're so behind. We'll break after this. Dean, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, how are you today?
It's
a weird day,
isn't
it?
It's a weird day. It is the weirdest of days.
Well, it got weird for me when I was going to pull into my parking garage, and it was cordoned off with police vehicles, and I looked out the window. I parked right across the street from the Paramount Hotel, and to look down and see the body covered up.
Oh, so you saw the body sitting there?
Sitting there, yeah, just inches from a car that was parked on the street. His head was literally touching the tire.
Oh.
And the one shoe, nice shoe, maybe a Ferragamo or something, sitting next to him, and milled around for a minute, and then the police came over, and because I'm up high in the parking garage, I can see down as they peel back the orange blanket that he's covered in, and could see he's a very well-dressed man, and looked up, and sure enough, the top floor shattered, and sitting about 5 feet from him on the ground is a chair, and you can actually see the cushion of the chair where it's all scratched out from where the glass hit it as it shattered.
That's
brutal. I've got the willies right now. I gotta tell you, man, it's spooky.
Oh, that's creepy. Is that the first time you've seen a dead body like that?
No, I've seen a jumper come off the Star Park garage over on the mall, but
really, maybe you're bad luck, sir. Well, Jim Roop, you know what's not to be morbid,
Not to be morbid about this, but, you know, Jim Roop, we can, Jim Roop, I hate to say this, but this is fortuitous, that Jim Roop is coming up in about 15 minutes. And remember, Jim Roop had a jumper land on his car one time. Jim Roop had a jumper, a suicide, land on his car. So we'll be able to get his thoughts on this in a second. So, all right, well, yeah, well, I'm sorry you witnessed that, but I mean, it's, well, thanks for kind of giving us the scoop on it.
If there's a cheery side to this, it pays to park in covered garages.
All right. You know, our audience really is glass half full. Dean, thank you, sir. Thank you,
thank
Dean.
You.
There you go. All right, go compose yourself, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now go to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Britney Spears filed legal papers today in L.A. County Superior Court, citing irreconcilable differences. Thank you for helping me with that word.
Yeah.
In her petition, Spears asked for both legal and physical custody of the couple's two children, one-year-old Sean Preston and two-month-old Jaden James, with Federline getting reasonable visitation rights. See, this is very California. After the second baby comes, there's a divorce.
Well, you know,
that's
and
how, coming up. This is the best.
And we got Roop coming up.
Mm-hmm. As for money, sources tell TMZ, the couple who married in September 2004 have an ironclad prenup.
Yeah. Bam!
Not surprisingly, Spears is waiving her right to spousal support. She's also asking the judge to make each party pay their own attorney's fees.
Oh, in your face.
I love her.
A-hole. Yeah.
Spears gives the date of separation as yesterday, the same day she flaunted her incredible revamped physique during a surprise visit on David Letterman's program.
I was just going to say...
I have that on my website, the YouTube video.
I was just going to say, now comes the post-divorce sexathon for Britney Spears. And you know that's how it works. Mm-hmm. Chicks, and look, I don't mean... The guys do this too. And, you know, Sarah and I have talked about this. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, as soon as any divorce happens, because we all, you know, you have friends, whatever, people get divorced, they split up, they separate, what's the first thing you do? New wardrobe, new haircut, you hit the gym. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. It's just, as soon as you get single, you are shedding every ounce of body fat. So, but I thought that's exactly what this is, man. It's a Britney Spears, she's divorced, now she's going to look all hot, and she's just going to be humping everything that moves.
Sources tell TMZ there is no single reason for Britney pulling the plug. Rather, it was, quote, a string of events, unquote. Spears has hired powerhouse celebrity lawyer Laura Wasser, who has repped a number of celebrities, including Angelina Jolie, Nick Lachey, and Kiefer Sutherland.
How great that is Nick Lachey's lawyer. Oh, that's fantastic.
And apparently, Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe asked Wasser to rep them both in their split, but Wasser declined for personal reasons.
This day is going to kill us. We're going to be dead by the end of the show. What else could possibly happen? I'm just waiting for Jesus to appear. By 2 o'clock, the clouds are going to part, and Jesus Christ is going to return to Earth.
God, this is so great.
It's just amazing. Oh, my God.
Thank you, God.
It's, seriously. This is our the Blitz of London.
Now we can talk to Joshua Jackson about what he feels about Britney Spears and Kevin Federline filing for divorce.
Fantastic.
This is our finest hour from 1 to 2.
It really is true. Welcome to Armageddon. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's 503. Next up. Thank you, sir. Next up, dogs and cats sleeping together. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We got a break.
We're about half an hour late.
Yeah, we're like Don and Mike.
Oh, darn it.
Take a break here. Back after this, Tim Riley returns from the Ministry of Truth. God damn. Later on, we got to give away those tickets to Corman and Conway. And that is, I don't know if there isn't like a split in the Earth's crust. Stay there. It's a Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this.